local public meetings about the BLM plan for the Ring of Fire areas are postponed, and the DOT commissioner gets grilled again about the ferry project. It's a KHNS Local News. I'm Marga Friedenauer. Those stories and more up next. Haines Police and the Haines Animal Rescue Kennel are advising dog owners to keep their canines close after a coyote attacked a dog Wednesday. Tracy Mikowski of Haines Animal Rescue Kennel said the dog owner reported that at about 2 in the afternoon, their Cavalier King Charles Spaniel suffered puncture wounds after being attacked by a coyote in the Piedad neighborhood. The owner was able to rescue the dog, and they are taking it to Juneau for treatment, Mikowski said. She said dog owners are encouraged to accompany and supervise their pets and keep them on leash while they are outside. The Bureau of Land Management has canceled public meetings this week in Skagway and Haines regarding the Ring of Fire Management Plan. Public comment on the BLM document is open until March 14th. BLM said Wednesday it hopes to reschedule the meetings for Skagway and Haines before the comment period closes. You can find a link to the BLM Ring of Fire Management Plan on our KHNS News webpage or the Haines Borough website. The joint Alaska House and Senate Transportation Committees on Tuesday sent the name of Governor Sean Parnell's pick for Transportation Commissioner, Pat Kemp, to the full legislature for confirmation. A career DOT employee, Kemp was appointed to the top job in late December after serving as acting commissioner since October. As KTOO's Casey Kelly reports, he faced questions about recent changes to the Alaska Class Ferry Project, as well as the Juneau Access Road at his confirmation hearing.
The administration has been criticized for the governor's sudden decision to change the Alaska Class Project from one large 350-foot ferry to two smaller shuttle boats. Residents of small southeast communities are concerned the Alaska Marine Highway System won't be able to provide reliable service with the lighter boats, but Kemp promised lawmakers a full public vetting of the new ferry design.
People are going to like this vessel. I'm guaranteeing it. It's going to be good. It's going to offer more capacity. It's going to be cheaper to operate, and it's going to be within the budget we have before us now.
Sitka Democratic Representative Jonathan Christ Tompkins asked Kemp about the administration's failure to discuss project changes with the state's Marine Transportation Advisory Board. Kemp, who's a highway engineer, admitted he didn't fully understand the board's role in providing input to the department.
I met most of them for the first time a week or two ago, I guess. Here in Juneau, they had a board meeting. And understand the sensitivities a little bit better with the board.
Parnell and Kemp have cited Alaska-class cost overruns as the driving force behind the design change. Originally budgeted at about $120 million, recent estimates grew to more than $150 million. Christ Tompkins asked how the administration could be certain that two shuttle ferries would be cheaper to build and maintain than one large 350-foot boat.
The cost of a boat is not linear to its length. When we worked with the third floor with the governor's office on what to do with this over-budget project, the governor was an advocate of chopping length. Well, we found that you could chop only so much, and pretty soon we found out, well, you did need an engine, you did need a propulsion system, you did need the amenities.
Kemp said he believes the two 280-foot shuttle ferries can be built for about $49.5 million each.
With the type of ferries we're looking at now, with a simple roll-on, roll-off, the interior might look similar to a fast ferry with the car deck. They're on, they're off. It's a lot simpler design. And that design also leads to lower operating costs.
Anchorage Democratic Senator Hollis French asked how the shuttle ferries relate to the Juneau Access Project. The commissioner said a new court-ordered environmental impact statement for the proposed road north of Juneau will include analysis of a ferry-only option. But the administration believes a road is still the best alternative.
You know, it's the largest community in the nation, not connected by a road. So there was significant studies. And you take the demand to travel, the flexibility, these other issues, and you marry it up, and the road actually came out ahead economically-wise.
French later got Kemp to admit the shuttle ferries would be ideal for transporting cars and people between Haines and the Katsahine River, where the proposed Juneau Access Road would end.
So how far of a ferry ride is that from the end of that road to Haines?
Not sure. Less than 10 miles, okay. Maybe 5 miles, I'm not sure.
So the shuttle ferries would be ideal for that?
Very much so.
Governor Parnell included $10 million in his proposed budget for ongoing work on the Juneau Access Project. The revised EIS is due in March or April. Kemp is the first Alaska-born transportation commissioner. He's also the first to work completely through the department's ranks. The House and Senate Transportation Committees voted unanimously to forward his name to the full legislature for confirmation. In Juneau, I'm Casey Kelly.
Phone scammers have targeted several elderly residents across Southeast this year, including Haines. The caller typically claims to be a grandchild in dire trouble and in need of money. Haines police reported 2 weeks ago that at least 4 Haines residents in a single day had been targeted with this type of scam. There are some variations on the theme, but as Matt Lichtenstein reports, the scam has been around for a while and in various communities.
Petersburg resident Jeannie Norheim says she received one of the scam phone calls this summer.
My call came from supposedly my grandson who had left down and gone to L.A. for somebody's wedding is what he said. And he said he had this car that he was driving and it was a rental and the airbags blew up in his face and he's got a broken nose and no teeth and he could hardly talk decent and, you know. And so he needed $9,000 to get out of jail and to start, you know, getting some lawyer help.
When Norheim asked why the caller didn't contact his parents, he said he didn't want them to know about it and urged her not to call them. When she said she didn't have the money, he asked to talk to her husband, Roald.
He said, well, let me talk to Grandpa. And right then I knew it was not my grandson because they've never called Roald Grandpa. It's always been Papa. And so right then I knew, I said, you don't even sound like my grandson. And so I gave the phone to Roland, and he told the same thing. And the guy slammed the phone down in his ear when he told him to go jump in the lake. Anyway, that was our experience.
Norheim says several of her friends got the same phone call. Local police have received reports about the scam but have no leads in the case. They urge residents not to give out personal information and to contact the police department if they get a call like this. There were reports of similar calls to Juneau residents a year ago. Nationwide, the FBI says it's gotten complaints about the so-called grandparent scam since 2008. There are a number of variations. Sometimes the caller pretends to be another relative or a friend of the relative, their attorney, or even an arresting officer or a doctor. But they all prey on a senior's urgent concern for a loved one in trouble. According to Anchorage-based FBI agent Eric Gonzalez, the scammers can be very convincing.
So people just need to be aware of the scam. When you get a call like this, just hang up. If for some reason you may even think it's believable, call a family member to verify it. But 99% of the time, it's going to be a scheme. Just hang up.
In addition to contacting local police, you can report such calls to the FBI's Internet Crime Complaint Center. The website also includes a variety of statistics and reports and other information about phone and Internet scams. The address is ic3.gov. In Petersburg, I'm Matt Lichtenstein.
For KHNS News, this is Margaret Friednauer, and thanks for listening to your local news on KHNS. We appreciate your support.